I'd like you to take your Bibles out with me for just a couple of minutes so we can get moving tonight. Just keep them handy for a minute. I won't give you a verse yet, because if I do, you're going to open them and you're going to start reading and you're going to get enthralled with what you see there. But I want to hear from you. What are some things that make you unhappy? Now, I don't never ask you to do something that I don't do first. Okay, I was, for some of you know my story, I was a football coach for a long time, fairly successful, and had an opportunity to sort of have a reunion with some of my old players. But before that, I was a player. So I never asked my players to do something that I didn't first do. And so I'm going to share with you something that happened to me today that threatened to rob my joy, and that is kind of one of my pet peeves. Anybody have any of those? I know you're all holy, you don't have them, right? You have anything that bothers you? Well, you know what? Here's one of my pet peeves, one of my joy stealers. It's this phrase, here we go again. That sound familiar? Here we go again. The reason I got to camp so late today, I thought it was going to be later, but the Lord opened the Red Sea for me and no cops and all that sort of things, and so I'll leave it at that. I'll deal with the Lord myself on that later. But do you know, since 2007, trying to come up to Pilgrim Camp, every year before I come to camp, something happens to hinder me from coming to camp. In 07, if any of you remember your history, my father got sick. The week we were supposed to come up here, I began coming up with him after my mom went to be with the Lord in 04. And in 07, my father was stricken and ended up going to be with the Lord. We were supposed to be here at camp. And do you know, every single year, something happens in our family, in our church, or whatever it may be, right before I'm supposed to come to Pilgrim Camp. Every year, I come up to camp. All right, now what are we going to do about this? On the phone, you know, the Bluetooth, and trying to deal with things as I'm driving up and trying to make time. And you know what comes to my mind when that happens? And it did this year again. Here we go again. And for me, that's a joy stealer. That's one of those things that makes me want to... What about you? What steals your joy? Doesn't have to be anything that elaborate, but what kind of... annoys you. Come on, this is good for before the staff meeting now. You can really, you guys got a shit chance here now to fight back. I'm on your side, but don't tell anybody. I was a staff member too for many years. Come on, what steals your joy? Anybody? Nothing? You all happy? Maybe I should just pack up and go home. You all happy people? Great. That's good. We'll talk about something else.
Yes, I took my physical for the bus driving. My blood pressure was too high. My hearing wasn't any good. That happens every year. I have a problem with that.
Right? Maybe you're in the Here We Go Again club. Huh, Brother Petfield? Here we go again. Same thing. Same old, right? Same stuff, different day, right? Sure. Anyone else?
Government.
Oh.
Here we go again,
huh? Come Tuesday? We're going to all be in default, huh? Sure. August 15th rolls around. Yeah. You know, I got a letter from our state government a couple of weeks ago. They gave me too much money. 4 years ago. They want it back. Wasn't it nice of them? They didn't charge me interest because it was their fault. Wasn't that nice? No penalties. Penalty free. They really are looking out for us, aren't they, brother? Sure. Anybody else? Anything else? Get your goat.
Well, in some ways, as I get older, if I can blame it on them, you know, I get forgetful. Go out the door. I put this there. I go, and I forget again.
Brother,
I've learned in everything give thanks. Cast your care on the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen. How many of us have that? I tell you what, not even the old folks. I can't tell you how many times I'll walk into a room.
Where did I come from?
Hon! That's I call my wife.
Hon!
What? Why am I in here? Because I figure she must have sent me in there for something. Because if I would have thought of it, I would have remembered, right? No, not necessarily. Sure, sure. Anybody else? Anything? Get your go? Annoy you? Oh, yeah. Oh, I had that going on a little bit this afternoon, too, on the New Jersey Turnpike, the Parkway, excuse me, all run by the same company now, going through Newark. If any of you know that area, you know that area, Uncle Ken. Going through Newark up by 145, 147, bumper to bumper. My wife called me, how you doing? You making good time? Yeah, if standing still is making good time, I'm making it. Sure, sure. You all got things, don't you? You all got things. If I had something I could hook up onto your brain right now and flash it up here on the screen, you all look so nice and pleasant, and you're wondering, who is this nut who just walked in here? What kind of trouble are we going to get into this week? But if we could flash it up on this screen, every single one of us have at least one thing. Most of us have many things, don't we, that seek to rob our joy, to drag us down, to make us forget, as you prayed, Brother Dan, about that great salvation that we have experienced. And you know, as I said, we're going to talk a little bit about that this week. And it's interesting. I'm sure most of you know what the theme verse of camp is this year. Do you know? At least this is what Brother Eddie told me it was. So if this isn't it, I'm blaming him. I'm throwing him right under the bus. Does anybody know theme verse? Am I right? Jeremiah 15:16. Does that sound familiar to anyone? No? Yeah. Turn to it. Jeremiah 15:16. This is what Brother Eddie told me was the theme verse. Maybe this is his theme verse for this year. I don't know if he shared it with the staff. Perhaps he did. But this is what he told me it was. Take a look at it. Real quick. Jeremiah 15:16. I have New King James Version. I'm not sure what you guys have. New King James? Okay, good, good. We're all getting saved, huh? Sometimes in our church, we use New King James Version, but the other night in Bible study, we kind of read around, like we let each person read a verse, and I think we must have covered all the major versions. I thought I was looking up a verse on Bible Gateway or something. You know, every version was covered. I think we even had the message going on that night. But if you have Jeremiah 15:16 in New King James, read it. If you have a different version, just follow along. Read it with me. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me what?
Joy.
And?
Rejoicing.
Say that again. What was it? The joy and rejoicing. Well, now, come on. Wake up, everybody. What was it? The joy and rejoicing. Good. I got to warn you. You know what my real profession is? Well, my real profession is I serve the Lord. But you know how I actually make my money? I teach eighth graders. So you can be as tough a crowd as you want. I'm used to dealing with 13 and 14-year-olds every day. So you better hang on to your hats, all right? Some of you remember my mom? Remember my mom? Well, it got a little of that in me, too. It kind of, you know, rubs off a little bit in the genes. So, you know, think, what is it? What are the words? What are his words? What did Jeremiah say? I found your words, and I devoured them. I devoured them. How was supper tonight? Is Sister Edith here yet? Any of the cooks here?
Brother Dan,
you want... Oh, I should have known, Brother Dan. All right, Brother Dan, close your eyes, stick your fingers in your ears for a minute, and hum the Star Spangled Banner. How was dinner tonight? Was it good? All right. Have you ever had a meal? All right, Brother Dan, you can come back. It was good. Looking forward to it. You ever have a meal, you were so hungry, you just... like went crazy. You can't hardly even remember eating it. Anybody ever had that experience? It might have even been something you weren't crazy about, but you were so hungry that you couldn't get enough. This is good. Can I have some more? You know, like Oliver Twist. Can I have some more, please? Can I have some more, please? Can I have some more? And you just devoured it. You devoured it. Well, you know, that is what Jeremiah did. He found God's word and he devoured them. He just dove into it for all it was worth, and he started chewing. and he started chewing. And he started chewing. You might think I'm being a little graphic about that, but I'm not, because you know that the word meditate, you know what it means, don't you? It means to chew on, got to keep going just a little bit more. It means to chew on again and again and again. Anybody ever see a cow eat? Yeah. It just makes you kind of want to go to the diner, doesn't it? Because what do they do? They chew. Looking at you. You ever notice they like chew in circles? Isn't that weird how they do that? And they swallow. And they stand there looking at you. Like, huh? You paid money to come and see me? And all of a sudden, yeah, kind of makes you want to go back to the palace, doesn't it? Try it again. See if it's as good the second time. They regurgitate it, and they chew on it some more. You know, most of you, I trust or hope, but if you don't, that is what meditation is. You chew on it. You chew on it. You think about it. You roll it around in your mind. You say, Holy Spirit, enlighten me. After all, you wrote this. What a blessed opportunity we have that we know the author. Amen. I don't know if you've ever, anybody heard of the author? I believe it was Robert Browning. You might correct me on this, Uncle Ken. I think it was one of them, might have been Browning. He wrote these poems. Somebody asked him one time about one of his poems. They're beautiful, but, you know, kind of up there. They said, what did you mean when you wrote that poem? He said, when I wrote that, only God and I knew what it meant. You know where this is going? Now, only God knows. Only God knows what it means. Well, little funny story, but we know the author. We know the author of this book. If you don't understand the Bible, ask the author. I have a couple of books given to me or that I've purchased that were signed by the author. I love to have books like that. They're signed by the author. Some fairly old. Some I maybe paid a little bit more for than I should. But I wanted that author's signature. I wanted that book signed by that author. This book is signed all over it by the author, the Holy Spirit. And if you want to understand what this is, if this doesn't make sense to you, if when you read this, you're kind of like, okay, great, I can't wait. 9 o'clock, almost over. Good, we're halfway home, baby. Halftime. Let's all do a few jumping jacks. It's halftime. No. Ask the Holy Spirit. I read one time that when Martin Luther, anybody ever hear him? Now that's not MLK Jr., the guy who gives us the vacation. You know, we get the vacation in February. I know all about the vacations, trust me, I'm a teacher. I know all the vacations. I love Martin Luther King Jr. some of his speeches are awesome. But this is Martin Luther, the monk, 1500s. The idea that we were saved by faith alone. Do you know that got lost? That was lost for centuries. The church, the official church taught, if you want to be saved, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to give us money, you got to go to church this many times, you have to do certain penances, you have to go to confession, you have to have your children baptized, and right down the line, there was a whole list of things that you had to do in order to get saved. All of a sudden, this Deutscher, we got some German people around here, I know. This German monk gets the idea we are saved by faith alone. Where'd he get that? Where'd he get that? Let me tell you where he got it. You know, Sister Hofflehner, he got it from the Bible. He got it from reading Romans. which was quoting an Old Testament scripture that says, by faith you are saved. The righteous shall live by faith. By faith. Now let me ask you a question here. Here's what I want you to think about for a minute. Was he the only guy reading that book? Was he the only fellow reading the Bible?
Well, maybe he was.
Right? It makes you think. Maybe he was. There were others who could read it. You and I couldn't. The average Joe and, you know, Jane on the street couldn't read it. But there were other learned monks who could read the scriptures. Why was it that this guy read that verse and saw something that nobody else saw? Nobody else got it. Is he smarter than everybody else? A little sharper? A little sharper tack?
Is he the author?
I'm going to tell you why he saw it. Because I was taught and I read that every time Martin Luther opened the Word of God, he prayed this prayer. It's a complicated one. Put on your thinking caps. You ready? See if you can memorize it. It's, teach me. Teach me. Teach me. And that was it. Very complicated, isn't it? Teach me. Teach me. Teach me. Who was he saying that to? Who was he saying that to? He was saying it to the author. He was talking to the author. He says, I need you to teach me what this is all about. I need you to show me what this is, what this means, what you have to say to me. Last night, some of you guys, anybody ever hear of Bill McCartney? University of Colorado, Buffaloes, 1990s, national champions, founder of Promise Keepers. I heard him speak last night. And he talked about when he was coaching football. He started his coaching career with a fellow by the name of Bo Schembechler at the University of Michigan. Now, I know I see a Penn State shirt there. This is one of their enemies, sworn enemies. Bo Schembechler is he's a Hall of Fame college football coach. You can buy his biography in virtually any bookstore. Every year, but before they began their new season, their next football season, like a lot of our NFL guys are doing now, I guess now that the lockout's over and all that stuff is going on, he would gather his team together and he would give his team a little pep talk. A little pep talk. Get them ready for the season. Get them into the right frame of mind. And every year, Bill McCartney said, Coach Bo Schembechler would look at his players and he said, if there's anything you do this season, I want you to do this. What do you think it would be? Win a national championship? Win the Rose Bowl? Eat a lot of steak? No, he said, if there's one thing you do this year, every day I want you to do this. Listen to this. I want you to walk up to your coach. In football, there's a lot of coaches. There's a lot of coaches. Teachers to teach them how to play. So I want you to walk up to your coach every day and say this to your coach. Coach, coach me. Coach me. Make me better. Take me beyond what I'm capable of doing. I'm this good, but I think I can be better. But I can't do it myself. I need you to coach me. That's exactly what Martin Luther did when he came to the Bible. He looked at the author and he said, teach me. Coach me. Take me beyond myself. Take me beyond my natural capabilities. Now, I believe, and I'll be talking more about this, I believe that we have some pretty talented people here. In your natural selves, you got some talents. Maybe it's sports. Maybe it's music. Maybe you're a writer. Maybe you're an artist. Maybe you can make people laugh. Maybe you can dance. Maybe you do. I don't know. There's all kinds of talents out there. We got a lot of talented people here. And God gave you those talents. God put those in you to be used for His honor and for His glory. But there comes a time in our lives when God wants to take us beyond our natural capabilities. I know there's some things I'm pretty good at. I have some skill that's been recognized different times in my life. But there are always those moments, and I believe God lets them come into our lives, when we run up against a brick wall and you have to say, I can't do it. I can't do it. And it forces me to look above and say, I need you. I need you to teach me. I need you to coach me. I need you to guide me. I need you to take me beyond myself. And I believe that that is one of the beautiful things about Pilgrim Camp. God brings us into this place. And sometimes He may even allow circumstances here at camp, or perhaps at home, or maybe on the way up, or maybe, you know, on the way home. And He allows those things to happen to us so that He might bring us to the end of ourselves, and we might look to Him and say, I need you. I need you. You have to do this for me. You have to take me beyond what I can do. I need you. I need you. And the moment you do that, do you know what happens? God comes to you. His Spirit just reaches right into you, as it were. And not only does He teach you, He will actually help you and do it for you and do it through you. You see, that's what the baptism and being filled with the Holy Spirit is all about. We allow His power to come into us, to possess us, and He does it through us. He does the work. He speaks the word. He shows the love. And now, to bring us back full circle, He gives us the joy. He gives us the joy. Did you know how much Jesus talked about joy? It's interesting if you read His words, because often when Jesus talked about joy, there are times He didn't even use the word, and He was talking about joy. Anybody here ever hear of the Beatitudes? Ever hear them? How do they start? You only got to know one word. Simple.
Blessed.
Blessed. How's the next one start?
Blessed.
How about the third one?
Blessed.
Fourth?
Blessed.
Okay. And on and on. Blessed, 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 blessed. Did you know Jesus was talking about joy?
Yes.
Yeah. I know a lot of you do know this. How do you know? Because what does the word blessed mean?
Happy.
Happy. It means literally to be so happy,
yes,
that people envy you. Go down to the bookstore if you don't have one and go buy yourself an Amplified Bible. You know, you all know what the Amplified Bible is? It's the Bible that's really loud. No. It takes the words and it tells you what it literally means. Gives you more definitions. And do you know what the last definition of the word blessed is in the Amplified Bible? If anybody knows this, I will buy you a double cone at the Boathouse Monday. It's got to be Monday, right? You all know, right? You know what it is? To be envied. To to be envied. People look at you and they envy what you have. Let me ask you this question. Do people look at you? Do people look at me? They look at how you live as a Christian and say, I wish I had that. Some of you know Rick Warren. He can be a controversial figure to some Christians, but I heard him say something I'll never forget. Maybe you've heard of The Purpose-Driven Life. It's one of the big books that he wrote. Listen to what he said. It fits this perfectly. He said, I know of two reasons why people don't become Christians. Reason number one, they have never met a Christian. They need to meet somebody who's going to tell them about Jesus. We are his ambassadors. We are his epistle, written to be read by all men, aren't we?
Yes.
Reason number one that people don't become Christians, they've never met a Christian. I hear a couple of you chuckling. You know where this is going, don't you? What's reason number two? They have. They've met a Christian. If you think about it, both sides of that are rather indicting, aren't they? Why aren't we telling them? Why aren't we going out into all the world and preaching the gospel? Why hasn't that kid sitting next to you in school heard the gospel? Why hasn't that person on the job not heard the gospel or seen it lived out through somebody's life? But the second one is sad. Because they have met a Christian. We had a dear fellow in our church years ago, worked on the railroad. And there was this guy at his job that just seemed different from everybody else. He wasn't a weirdo. He wasn't strange. He didn't walk around hitting people over the head with a Bible or anything, but there was something different about him. And this fellow, who we came to know, Carmine DeLucia, he said, you know, there's something different about that guy. He seems happy. I'm not happy. Yeah, I laugh at jokes and I have good times. But really, I ain't happy. I'm not happy with my life. I'm not happy the way things are going. I'm not happy with my relationship with my wife or my kids. I'm not happy. This guy seems happy. I wonder if he really is. And so you know what he did? He just kept watching. He didn't say a word. He just kept watching. He watched how this fella's life progressed. He watched him at work, and they worked hard. And the guy wasn't always on top of the world. Wasn't always laughing and cracking jokes, and, you know, big smile painted on his face like the Joker or something like that. No. He's a regular guy. Had his ups and downs. But there was something different about him. Until finally one day, Carmine walked up to that guy during lunch. He says, all right, you got to tell me. What's the deal? What's the deal? And that fellow looked at him and said, the deal is Jesus Christ. That's my deal. There's no secret. There's no inside joke. It's simply Jesus Christ. The gospel. He related to him the story of the gospel. The good news. Anyone know something? And I knew this man for over 30 years of his life, Carmine DeLucia. He met Jesus Christ too. It changed his life. And it changed his life so much that, you know what he ended up doing? I just got to tell you, this is funny. He quit the railroad, and he opened a real estate business. And you know why he opened a real estate business? He actually became fairly successful. But you know why he opened a real estate business? Not because real estate was booming, but because in real estate, he recognized that he would meet more people. He would sell somebody a house, and then he'd move on to the next person. Enjoy your house. But every single person that he met and dealt with heard in one way, shape, or form the gospel. Because he had found something that had transformed his life. It had brought joy into his life that he hadn't had before, and he wanted to share it. He wanted to share it. And as we go through this week, we're going to see, and my prayer for us is that as we go into God's Word, and I have so much else I could tell you tonight, but as we go into God's Word, that what Jeremiah says here will be true. Look at this verse one more time. I don't know if you underline in your Bible. Is anybody here writing their Bible? I write everything in my Bible. Not shopping lists and stuff like that, but I have... you should see like the books that I've taught on in our church. I mean, there's not a room for anything. If I ever want to write a note in Hebrews, I got to buy a new Bible. If you write in your Bible, you ought to underline this verse. I have a good friend in our church. He hates to write in his Bible. It's too holy. He can't bring himself to write in his Bible. And I always say to our folks in our church now, you underline this verse in your Bible. Jeff, write it in your notebook. Write it in your notebook. He just can't bring himself to deface the Word of God. And I appreciate it about him. But if you write in your Bible, you ought to underline that. Your words were found, and I ate them. Is that true of you? Is that true of you? Notice first what he had to do. He had to find them. He had to find the Word of God. He had to come. Perhaps you've read the Word. Perhaps you've read this story over and over again. Maybe you know the Bible stories. Maybe you're like one of those kids who can correct the Sunday school teacher when they make a mistake. We've got some kids in our church like that. You know, little 5-6-year-olds. Sunday school teacher might be, you know, telling a story. And sometimes, you know, you might flub something or whatever. And you go, no, that's not what happened. That's not what happened. It happened this way. Maybe you're one of them. But let me ask you a question. Have you ever really found His Word? Has there come a time in your life when you can truly say, your words, I found them. I found them. And when I found them, I devoured them. It was like the buffet. You like buffets? Johnny? Me too, buddy. That's why I see great minds think alike, right? I love those buffets. You know what you need at a buffet? Chair with wheels. Right on. Just bring your own. Bring your own, babe. It works. Just roll right up and down those tables. You don't have to go back to your seat, babe. And you find what you like, just sit there. Just stay there. Hit the locks. Just, you know, you got to get the ones with the locks. So, you know, those people can't get you out of the way. All right? You just eat all them crab legs. Just eat them all. Okay? Your words were found, and I devoured them. And then what happens? And they were to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Now wait, that's not all. And here, for I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. God is always calling to us. And one of the calls that we read right here is, come, you who are thirsty. I'm all thirsty right now. Kind of ran in quick after I got here. You were hungry. I had 2 cheeseburgers at McDonald's. And the worst cup of coffee I ever had in my entire life. I threw it out. Now, if you know anything about me and coffee, for me to throw that out, that'd be kind of like ladies maybe like, you know, taking that ring and chucking it. I mean, I like coffee. It's in my room. I'm a gold card Starbucks member. I got my name on a Starbucks card. And I didn't make it. They made it and gave it to me. Every 15, I get a free one. I go in, I buy a medium grande. Grande. Grande bold. But when I get the freebie, I want a venti, frappuccino, coconut mocha. Soy no latte, double whip, triple pump. You know why? Because it's free. Because it's on them. I spend $1.95 when I go in. But when the dime's on them, I look for the most expensive thing on the menu. Point to this. This week, God says, come on. Step up to the counter. Step up to the counter. This one's on me. What do you want? What do you want? Order up. Order up. And you might be surprised, because I might even throw in a few extras that you didn't order. My son Sammy and I, we go to A&P. We have a very cool A&P. In our A&P, there's a Starbucks. Sammy knows the ladies at Starbucks. It's either an apple juice, or it's chocolate milk, or on a special day, it's Valina. You all know what Valina is, right?
Yeah.
It's Valina. Well, you know, because he's gotten to know them, more times than not, when he gets handed that chocolate milk or that organic apple juice or that Valina, which is a special day when he decides on Valina, you know what he often gets? A little extra treat. And not because Dad bought it for him, but because the lady across the counter likes him. And it might be one of those cool birthday cake lollipops with the pink thing. You know that? Anybody know that one? You guys got to get out more. Or some kind of little treat. Just because they like him and he's cute. I kind of tend to agree. You know why the Lord this week wants to throw in some extras? Because he likes you. Did you know that God likes you? We talk about God loving us all the time. I think sometimes we get stuck behind those holy words. We all know God loves us because God is love, right? But did you also know that he actually likes you? I was talking to a couple one time that was having some marital problems. You know what they said to me? I was shocked. They said, yep, yeah, I think you we still love each other, Brother John. But we don't really like each other. I said, okay, I got to go back to Psychology 101 and figure out what we're going to do with this one. God not only loves you, he likes you. In fact, he's crazy about you. He is crazy about you. I told that to my folks in church a couple years ago. Every so often I have this one lady who gets up in church and says, God is crazy about me. God loves me. He likes me. He's crazy about me. And I said, wow, somebody got it. Somebody got it. God loves you. He's crazy about you. He likes you. And he wants to give. When you like somebody, what do you want to do? You want to give. 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 You're trying to impress that girl. You're trying to impress that guy. It's your first anniversary or that first Valentine's Day that you've been together. Man, you put some thought into it, don't you? And sometimes you even put some cash into it. Or plastic, as the case may be. Depends, you know, where you are in life. It doesn't matter. And it even doesn't matter how much it cost. You just want that person to like what you've given them. You want them to love it. You want them to understand that I'm giving this to you because I love you, because I care for you, and I put some thought into this, and I believe that in giving you this, it shows you that I understand something about you. I understand what you value. I understand what is precious to you. God has given us something. Is there anyone who knows us better than him? Than he. Okay, Brother Ken? Than he. He knows you. He knows what you need. He says, ask of me. Ask of me. Ask of me. And I will give it to you. If you, being evil, downright wicked, know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts? Give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. And beyond that, I'm going to throw in some extras. I'm excited to see what God's going to do. I believe that the reason something always happens before I'm coming to Pilgrim Camp is not for what I'm going to give to you, but it's because of what God's going to give to me. There's somebody who doesn't want me here, who wants me to come up with a heavy heart, who wants me to lose that joy and forget about it in the midst of other situations. But this week, we're going to find his words and we're going to devour them. And I'm telling you what, you better not be shy, because if you are, me and Johnny are going to eat them all. We're going to eat them all. And they are going to become to us the joy and the rejoicing of our hearts. And you're going to realize that it's because you have been called. You have been called by his name. And when we leave here, people are going to look at us and they're going to recognize that we've been called. And they're going to recognize that we've been called by his name. Because we are going to be more like him. And one of the ways we're going to be more like him is not just we're going to walk around with our hands folded. We're not even going to walk around with our heads tilted to the side. We're not going to button up our collars. No. You know how you know what they're going to see? They're going to see joy. God wants us to show the world joy. The fruits of the Spirit. What's number one? Come on, what's number one? Fruit of the Spirit, Galatians. Love. Guess what's number two?
Joy.
Joy. I wonder why that's so high on the list. I'm telling you, you and I, if you guys know my mom, she would actually do this. We should be skipping. Remember my mom? She used to skip. Remember Paul? You remember her? She would literally skip right around this podium, wouldn't she? We should be skipping. We should be so happy. People should look at us and they say, what's different about you? You know what's different about me? It is the name I bear. And that name is the name of Jehovah, Yahweh. He is my Adonai. He is my Lord. It is Jesus Christ. Yeshua Mashiach. Jesus the Messiah. My Messiah. My Savior. This is such good news. I got no reason but to be happy. But to be happy. That's my prayer for you this week. Let's get into God's Word this week. Let's study it. And on your own too. Don't just wait till you come here. Don't just wait here, but in your devotions, in your times together. I know the waitresses and some of the group, you have a devotion together. Come see what God wants to do. Walk into that palace. I guess you still have the devotional up in the palace. Is that where you have it? Walk up there, not, oh man, I can't wait till this is done. Say, Lord, what are you going to do for me? What surprise are you going to give me today? What are you going to kick in for free? What's today special? What's today's BOGO? You guys really got to get out. Anybody know what BOGO is? You never went to a store with BOGO? Oh, Sister Mary, God, thank the Lord for the engine of the family. And they say you're hicks up here. You know what BOGO is? Buy one, get one. And how do you get it? For free. I think the Lord's got some sales this week. I think the Lord's got some specials he wants to kick in. He wants to put a smile on your face. And it's not just because you just heard a funny joke or everything's going your way. We're not going to walk around here, oh, what a beautiful morning. You know that one? Anybody? Anybody remember Sister Lisa Schulteis? Anybody know her? She could sing that whole thing, couldn't she? She loves those show tunes. Oh, what a beautiful day. Was that from Oklahoma? Anybody? No, I'm sorry. Down in New Jersey, you know, I know you New York people and Midwest, you're holier than we are. But I know that song. It's from the Broadway music, Oklahoma. Oh, what? Anybody else know it? Come on, sing it with me. Beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. You know why? I got a beautiful feeling. Yes. Everything's going my way. Is that happiness?
No.
Is that real happiness? No. That's the happiness that the world gives. The happiness that comes from above, from his words, is completely different. It is completely other. But it, too, puts a smile on your face. I got a feeling this week we might start seeing a few more smiles. It's nice to see smiles. You know, when you stand, isn't it, Brother Hofflander? It's nice to see some smiles when you're standing up here, isn't it? Sometimes you stand there and people are like,
smile.
You know, people looking at you like, all right, okay, circus boy, start cranking it out. Entertain me. Let's go, you know? God wants to do something way beyond that for us. He wants to do a work in us by His Holy Spirit that's going to put a smile in on your face, a skip in your step, and I'll end with one thing. One of my favorite books, which I don't fully understand, I will admit, is G.K. Chesterton's Orthodoxy. Maybe Uncle Ken, you can give us a class on that one day, Chesterton's Orthodoxy. I'd like to you explain what in the world that cat was talking about with some of that stuff. But in his book Orthodoxy, it's a classic. It's a classic, considered one of the great books of the 20th century. But in his book Orthodoxy, he ends with this, and this is what I'll end with. He said, God reveals himself to us. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, I'm giving you my version. God loves to reveal himself to us. He has revealed all that he can to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. But there is one thing, Chesterton says, that I think God hides a little bit from us. Just a little bit. He says, and when I guess at what that is, you have to understand his tone. He was a Brit, so he had a very kind of dry sense of humor. And when I guess at the one thing that God hides from us just a little bit, I think it's his, I'll use his word, mirth. You know what the word mirth means? Anybody here? Good, you know, thesaurus work? What is mirth? Happiness, joy. He said, I think God hides that a little bit from us because we wouldn't quite get why our Creator could be so happy. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to have His joy. Do a little study. Go down to the boathouse by yourself or go into the library. Get yourself a Strong's Concordance. Look up joy. See how much it talks in the Bible about joy. And look up happy. See how many times it talks about happy. Those are for you. God wants us to be happy. He wants us to have His joy. Amen. He wants it to be fulfilled in us. Why? Because we bear His name. Let's pray in closing, shall we? Father, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you that it is good news. We thank you that as we read your word, as we meditate on it, the true goodness of this news becomes more real to us. And I pray, Lord, that you will help us while we're here at camp. Lord, that you will increase our joy. Lord, we want you to increase our faith, our love, our holiness, our consecration, all of that. But Lord, we know that as those are increased, that our joy will increase. And Lord, the world needs to see joy. They need to see it, and they need to see it badly. And they need to see the real thing. And we're thankful tonight that you offer us the real thing. May we be good takers. And we are excited to see what you're going to do for us. We thank you for what you have already done, Lord. We've heard such great things about this past week, weeks before. But Lord, now it's our turn here. And so we're excited about what you're going to do. And we're going to be good takers. And we know you're going to throw in some free extras as well. I pray, Lord, that you'll work in us throughout this night, that you'll give us a good night's rest, refreshing, and wake up tomorrow on the Lord's Day to worship and sing the praises of our God. I pray that you'll bless the staff, Lord. I pray, Lord, that as they serve you, that you will reward them with an ever-increasing joy. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.